I could never be a woman because I just stay home and play with my breasts all day.
The following podcast is adult in nature. It's explicit, plain spoken, candid, off color. So you might want to put your earbuds in because there might be somebody nearby who's not down to hear the dirty, dirty details. And we know you are. Okay, got them in? Let's do it.
I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. I guess what episode it is. Guess. Just go ahead and guess. That's right, 69! So, episode 69. Where do you think I'm going to go with that? Wrong. I'm not going where you think I'm going. I'm deeper than you think. Give me a little credit here. I have gone deep into the body archives. And I have pulled two stories, the flip side of a coin, two completely different takes on the same subject matter. And just to make myself look not that smart and to throw off that dichotomy I had going there for a minute, I've got a song on the same subject matter, a custom song that was written just for body. I think you're gonna like it. So earlier today, I was driving through San Francisco. My friend and my ex-boss, Sister Mabel Syrup of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And I was telling her how different this podcasting thing is starting to feel. Because I'm getting letters from y'all. I'm getting letters that tell me it's okay to say your name on the podcast. And like I've said before, sexuality is a weird place. People get worried about it. Don't say my name. And y'all have been writing me and going, it's okay to say my name. You can say it on the podcast, which makes it feel like things are changing. I really want things to change. So I'm going to say a few names here. I have their permission. Thank you to Patreon supporters, Chara and Randy and Danny and Lillian and Patty and Andrea and Bolkonski and Sarah. And thank you for the letters I got this week from Kretzia and Sam and Sarah and Christy and Meredith and Okapi and Rayma. Letters from all over the world telling me that you're listening, telling me that the stories are moving you. And while I was driving around today with Sister Mabel, I told her about Chelsea's email that I got last week and how I read it on the podcast and some of the fan mail that she got. If you want to send Chelsea fan mail, send it to me, dixie@bodystorytelling.com. I'm happy to pass it on because it was such a moving story. And I was telling it to Sister Mabel while we drove around in the car. And we'd been laughing and catching up and cracking each other up. And when I told her that story, she hit me on the arm so hard and went, "You bitch, you made me cry." And we sat there and had a good cry in the front seat while my St. Bernard huffed in the back seat.
I hope you like big breasts, because mine are so big this itty bra can barely contain them.
Let's talk about our first storyteller, shall we? Pierced Angel has seen the power of a fully armed and operational battle station. She would like you to know that her brother is coming with many Fremen warriors. She never has the money with her. If you throw her the idol, she will throw you the whip. She is a Mach 1 plus attack helicopter. She has fled the Cylon tyranny. She was sentenced by a military court for a crime she didn't commit. She is the one the legend spoke of, and she has true grit. Not only that, but if you've ever seen any of the amazing costumes that I've worn on stage, She's responsible for him. She dressed me for my freak wedding. She made the crazy peacock headpiece that I wore at the 12-year anniversary show. She made the unicorn headpiece you can see me wearing in Body's Size Queen video on our YouTube channel. She is a brilliant costumer, and these are only her hobbies. One of the smartest people I have ever met, and so uniquely herself that it will break you in half. Oh, and a final word before I play this story for you. The audio on this story is less than perfect. This is one of the oldest stories in the Body Storytelling Archives. But I'd like to make it up to you. If you go to the show notes, you can watch the video. You can find out what all the screaming is about at the end of the video. And by the way, the surgeries that she talks about in this story, she has another one scheduled coming up later this year. Bigger and better, baby. This storyteller is Pierced Angel.
So my story begins in 1978. I'm 12, and I live with my grandmother in Section 8 housing. These are the halcyon days of drinking reconstituted powdered milk and playing Go Fish with my grandmother in a deck of cards that only has 50 cards. I love her, God bless her, I'm not going to tell her. I'm a girl on the verge of womanhood in the free women keep on talking 1970s. Unfortunately, living with my grandmother has kept me in a 1950s time capsule. So listening off a diet of carefully censored AM radio and television, I grow to love Bing Crosby, not the Bay City Rollers, and think Mamie Van Doren is the bee's knees, Marilyn Monroe is the cat's nightwear. And yes, I did talk like this, which made it very uncomfortable at school because no one knew who or what I was talking about. But the bombshell above all bombshells that I wanted to be like, that I aspired to be, was Jane Mansfield.
Yeah!
I've seen the movies. This was a woman who could melt whole blocks of ice simply by walking by. Milkman's eyeglasses cracked when she bent over to pick up her milk jug. It was Jane, and that girl could not help it. I posted pictures of her on my walls. I spent days doing the I must increase to my bust exercises, knowing that there would be a day when I would be the proud owner of a pair of sweater commandos. My grandmother had ginormous gazongas. My mother had massive mammaries, and I knew it was not long before I would be the proud owner of a pair of blouse bunnies. So every day I did my exercises. I dreamed of Bronskis as big as watermelons, McGumbos as far as the eye could see. Alas, this did not come to pass. What grew instead was my ass. And that was totally accidental, but kind of awesome. I was bootylicious. I had more cushion for the pushin'. There was much junk in my trunk. But the boots? Nothing. I stopped flat and an A. You see what I did there? Flat, A. Okay. I'm getting gold, people, come on! So I fought back the bitter tears of boob resentment, and I vowed to live my life as best as I could without knowing the joys of bodacious. Sorry, just give me a second. Okay, now. As I grew older, I learned to love my booty and the attention that was lavished upon it and the sweet nothings that were shouted at it as I passed by. Which included things like, that must be jam, because jelly don't shake like that. Or, would you fries come with that shake? My favorite being, of course, is there a keg in your pants? Because I'm not a damn jelly. vision.
On the side of the muni bus. Snuggle pup financing.
That's right, bitches. There was a titty fairy, and she lived at the corner of Van Ness and Washington. I set out on my journey, and 40 minutes later and two bus transfers later, I was at the golden gates of the medical building, established in 1942. Oh, great Tete Fairy. I have often longed for boobs. Can you help me? Why, yes, of course I can. Just fill out this paperwork, and upon credit approval, we can turn those honeyed oats into honeydews. So, 20 pages of paperwork, 3 months of waiting, 8 hours of surgery, 2 weeks of recovery, and countless Vicodin later, I was the proud owner of the most beautiful, perky, buoyant, enormous tits I had ever seen. But my story doesn't end there, because unfortunately, once I had them, I needed them bigger. Much, much bigger. So I went back and traded up. One, two, three, four times. I would like to introduce you to the twins, Scylla and Charybdis. Just look up Whole French's mythology if you need a reference. Okay, some medical facts. Each boob contains 1,600 cc's of liquid. That's about a liter and a half of soda pop per boob. I like to think of, you know, black cherry orange soda, but I invite all of you to think of your most refreshing beverage. Each boob weighs 3.5 pounds each, which means that the minute I step on any scale, bitches, I get to subtract 7 pounds. The best part about these boobs, this particular pair, is that I can add liquid to them whenever I want and make them bigger. That's right, I have ports underneath my armpits, and I can shove a little tube in them and push in more saline at will. I can also take out saline, but honestly, that's not a function I'm ever going to use, so ignore that part. At one point, I actually did ask the doctor if it was possible for me to, like, fill one with gin and one with tonic, sort of like a camelback for luscious. The FDA frowned on that, so the doctor did say he liked where my head was at, though. So, benefits of the twins, so I'm just, I don't get crumbs on my pants or skirt, sort of like that crumb catcher in the toaster, you know, married with children, the toaster leavings, they all, in there. I have a place to keep my money, awesome. Place to keep my notes. My feet rarely get wet when it rains, which is awesome because I'm sort of a shoe. And the best part is, now the Red Bull comes. Okay. If you need anybody to hold your Red Bull.
I got them heavy boobs, heavy boobs. Dance like dying stars. I got them heavy boobs, heavy boobs. I can't run real far. Let me break down what I just said. Each of my double D's has the volume of a toddler's head. Now bitching about my boobies, they look super fly in shirts. But if I swung them in your face, you'd be like, oh my God, that hurts.
Stress and anxiety make many people feel exhausted during the day and then wide awake when it's time to go to sleep. That's why I'm partnering with the Calm app, the number one app to help you reduce anxiety and stress and help you sleep better. More than 40 million people have downloaded it. and I'm one of them. And now, Bawdy Storytelling listeners get 25% off a Calm Premium subscription. Calm.com offers guided meditations on issues like anxiety, stress, and focus, and include a brand new meditation each day. They have soothing music, and they even have sleep stories, bedtime stories for adults designed to help you relax. I often listen to Calm stories or meditations when boarding a plane to handle my travel anxiety. I love the Calm app. It's right there when I need it, and it helps me stress less. Go to calm.com/DIXIE and get 25% off unlimited access with Calm Premium right now.
Might as well ask, why is the tree good? Why is the sunset good? Why are boobs good? Man?
Okay, I've got another story for you. And this story has stuck with me for years. This was told on stage about 5 years ago. The story is from a dear friend who's an author, a podcaster, a sex educator, a theater geek, and she may be my favorite bawdy storyteller of all time. And we wrestled over this story because it wasn't her favorite, but it really moved me. I've promised that I'm going to let her pick the next one, the next story of hers that's going to be played on the Bawdy Storytelling podcast, because she has told for Bawdy Storytelling many, many times for almost our entire 12 years. This storyteller is Allison Moon.
Everyone, hello. Thank you. I'm going through a breakup right now. Thank you. It's all right. It's fine. It's totally natural. We're growing apart. It's really just been like a long time coming in a lot of ways. Actually, it's been almost 25 years. It all began back when I was 9 years old. I was sitting outside of my classroom, my fourth grade classroom in South Florida, when my classmate comes up to me and he goes, his name was Steven. I remember this. His name was Steven. He goes, oh my God, Allison? He was a baby fag. That's one of those things that only occurs to you in retrospect when you're remembering the story before you actually tell it. Oh my God, Allison, your tits are so huge. Now, we were all 9 years old, so your tits are so huge, it basically meant that I was the only fourth grader whose torso did not resemble a surfboard. It still hurt. A couple weeks later, my diving coach pulled me aside and suggested that I might be more interested in joining the swim team, because at the rate that I was developing, I would probably be too tall to be a very excellent diver. And to be honest, Allison, the diving board is not the most comfortable place for a girl of your build. Yeah. I asked my mom for a bra, and she refused. She said that she had this belief in the persistence of the innocence of youth long after it had been served its eviction notice. See, for me, like for many girls, puberty felt like a betrayal. Because my body, which had been so tight and so strong and so vibrant, started feeling grotesque and monstrous. It started reminding me that I was fragile, that I was breakable, that there were consequences. So I started being more careful. And soon after, the hoots and the hollers and the catcalls came. They came before I entered middle school. And the guys cruising up on the side of the sidewalk offering their passenger seat in their cars started before I had my first kiss. I felt uncomfortable in the body that was suddenly forming around the core that felt the same, right? So, I started seeing my body only through the eyes of people who told me about my body. They told me, you don't look 14. You are not built like a swimmer. You should probably not wear that outfit unless you want boys to get the wrong idea. You should probably go home and change because you are a distraction to the boys in class. So I learned to see myself through their eyes and not my own until I met someone when I was a teenager who saw me through eyes that I actually liked the way I looked. Young love, high school sweetheart. He was a good Christian boy. So we were part of the everything but school of sex, which was everything but penis and vagina sex, not everything but sex. Different story, different body. So we spent a lot of time making out in the back seats, in the hallways, underneath bleachers, in the woods, in backyards, anywhere we could get our mouths and our hands on each other. And so we explored these long makeout sessions that just seemed to generate pleasure upon pleasure in a way that I have not yet experienced since, right? When you have nothing else on the table but what's happening up from here to here, it was fucking cool. We had a lot of fun. And I remember still, I will always remember the way he looked at me the first time he saw me topless. I was holding my hands on my breasts, holding back all of the shame and the sin that I was taught that I held in my body without giving consent to it. I held it back, and he, the sweet 16-year-old boy, just reached so gently to my hands and eagerly pulled them away and looked at me with such kind desire and such innocent eroticism. There was this beautiful look that was unencumbered by all of the cynicism of adulthood and experience. It was that newness that I have never experienced since, but I will take to my grave remembering the way he saw me, that beauty that I felt that I finally possessed. And so breasts became the center of every makeout session from then on. It was the entree for every meal we shared together. And I learned to orgasm and orgasm and orgasm with him just touching me here. Bless his heart. Yeah. And it was fucking beautiful. And I learned to feel what had been the parts of my body that felt the most shame, I learned to treat them with the way that created the most pleasure. And it was beautiful. But like young love, nothing really lasts. And I remember I went to college and I was making out with some boy and my roommate walked in and she saw me topless and she pointed and she laughed and she said, "Oh my God, it looks like you have udders." Fucking bitch, right? Yeah. But I don't know, out of all the things that I had heard about my body, that one stuck, obviously. And I learned to see myself through other people's eyes again. And not only see myself that way, but to define myself that way. I defined myself that way because I would hear people say, "Oh, Allison, the short brunette from Texas? No, 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 the one with huge tits. Oh, right, that's me." Right? And I was an actress. I minored in theater, and I was cast as a man, in a male role my senior year of college, and I loved it. It was a fun role to play. And my director, he was also a costume designer, and he brought me a binder. And he taught me how to smooth my breast tissue into a nice pectoral arc. And I put on the binder, and I didn't even know they existed until that point, and I put it on, and it was so tight and so constraining, but I loved the way I looked in the mirror, wearing boxer briefs, my preferred underwear of choice, and this binder, and I stared at myself in the mirror, feeling, again, that youthful sense of utilitarianism, that economy of movement, that strength, that almost but not quite invisibility, that invincibility of moving through the world without this yoke around my neck. It felt gorgeous. So I started wearing two sports bras at a time and wrapping myself with ace bandages, or maybe sometimes even duct tape when I couldn't find the ace bandage. I started wearing tight tank tops upon which I would put a large flannel shirt. It was Ohio. I became a lesbian. It was fine. Large flannel shirt. And it felt really good. I learned to tell guys when I had sex with them that I was really interested in just fucking, so we'd breeze past the off-ramp of breast play straight to penis-vagina sex. I learned to tell them that I didn't like having sex on top, so I didn't have to deal with the bounce. I learned to keep my bra on, because most people didn't care if I kept my bra on when I had sex. I learned all these beautiful things to keep myself enjoying sex and enjoying my body while hiding the shame that still was pressing down on my ribcage. And then I started dating women, and I found those moments of that kind of innocence of exploration coming back. It was this beautiful experience of when people wouldn't treat me as breasts and Allison, they would treat me as Allison, all part of the package. I dated slim girls, and we had a lot of fun moments of pressing our naked chests together and kind of joking that, like, oh, between the two of us, we have two perfectly average sets of breasts. Ah. It was fun. It was cute. Didn't last. I got into, like, as a sex educator and sex positive community, I found my community. I got into orgies, and I got into group sex, and I got into kink, and I got into a lot of fun places where I could start to really feel comfortable claiming my own body. But I still always felt like this part of me was reserved for the people who could see me cry. And so I held on to this part of me, and I didn't show it to people, and I didn't let people enjoy me, even though as a person who liked women, I started to love what I could feel when I created that kind of pleasure circuit with breasts. They were beautiful and lovely, and I got it when I was with other people, but I couldn't ever share mine. And so we would have like group sex and play parties, but I would always keep my bra on because I just didn't want them to be on the menu, you know? And we were having a sex party for a couple of friends of ours who were visiting from New York, a lesbian couple, and they were always like, again, like super appreciative, loved, told me, oh my God, your breasts are so beautiful, which is something I've heard all my life, and I totally believe you when you tell me that. But I don't see it when I look at myself, which I think is that kind of moment of like when people talk about dysphoria, like that's that moment. Like, I believe you, I don't think you're lying, but I just can't see it for myself, right? So they would tell me, and they were like, oh, Allison, we're in town for only like 2 nights. Can we just please play with your titties? And I'm like, okay, like I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm a sex educator. I am comfortable in my skin. It's been a while. Let's try it. So I'm at this orgy filled with my friends and my two lovely friends visiting from New York, and I'm like, okay, sure. And so I take off my bra, and like they kind of like latch on, and they're like sucking and licking, and I can feel the pleasure. Like, I can feel that thing that I felt when in high school where I'm like, oh my God, I can totally come from this. And then, almost like beckoned by the suction in their lips, I feel every moment from puberty onward, every creeper honking at me on the street, every guy who accidentally brushed up against me at the bar, every coworker who couldn't tell where my eyes were, every girl who said, oh my God, where did you get yours done? Every moment of negative, horrible shit, I felt it right then. And I was kind of embarrassed about that because I didn't want it to be their fault. And so I said, okay, this is a lot for me. I need to, I push them off. And I kind of enter this fugue state at which I'm like, I need to, And so I run upstairs to my room and I put on the most rib-crushing bra that I have. And let me tell you, I have a couple. I put on the most rib-crushing bra that I can and some flannel pants or some flannel PJs, and I lie in my bed and I cry. And I cry feeling all of the shit that I'd felt since I was a kid, unable to control this society of mine that tells me that my body is grotesque. And so I'm like, oh God, okay, I can do this. It's fine. It's not their fault. It's not anyone's fault. It's not even society's fault. It just is. And so I deal with it. And then a couple of months later, my friend, we try again. She's very pregnant and obsessed with boobs. She is just a boob fucking fiend, and I love her to death. And she's like, Allison, can I please suck on your titties? And I'm like, oh, God. It didn't end well last time, but I'm willing to make another go. So she sucks on my tits. And I'm like, I close my eyes and I'm trying to like get into it. I feel that pleasure and then I feel the pain that comes right behind the pleasure, and that combination is what creates shame, right? Pleasure plus pain plus all of that anxiety creates shame. And so I feel shame. So that part of my body that had created this most pleasure that I had ever felt, any ever before, the first time I had ever felt carnal pleasure with a partner, now created the most intense shame I've ever felt in my life. And I am there with my friend who's super pregnant and super beautiful, and I love her. And I kind of like, I'm trying to like go there for her, right? Like as a good sex partner, I'm like, it's okay, like this is fine, this is for her, I love her so much. So I'm lying there and I close my eyes and I drift off, and the first image that comes into my mind is that I'm a sow and she's a piglet. And I'm like, well, this isn't sexy. So I'm like, I need to not. And so I kind of like tap her on the head and like say for it out. And I'm like, I love you so much. I'm going to start crying right now. Is there anything else we can do together? And she's like, yeah, totally. Do you want to suck on mine? I'm like, yeah, totally. Easy, easy, easy. So I start sucking on her tits and she's having a great time. It's fine. And the whole time I'm trying to like talk myself down from the ledge of like all the anxiety of sexual shame, right? Fun, super fun. So I'm having that moment. And then my mom calls me and she a couple months later, and she tells me she's getting a mastectomy. She's fine. She had a stage zero breast cancer thing, and we were talking about that. And then I called up some friends who had had breast reduction surgery and talked about that. And if you didn't catch from all of the clues in the invitation to body and in the bango, I'm breaking up with my breasts. And so I've decided, I called a doctor and I went to talk to the doctor, and she said, oh yeah, you're an excellent candidate. I'm like, okay, cool, what does that mean? And she's like, well, I can get you down to a double D, maybe, but you might lose sensitivity. And I'm like, I might lose sensitivity? Sensitivity sounds like a great thing for me to lose. I've been a little bit too sensitive lately. And she's like, okay, so yeah, let's do it. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So on August 26th, I'm going to lie on an operating table and I'm gonna count down from 10 and I'm gonna fall asleep. And when I wake up, I will have lost the weight of an infant that's been attached to my chest every second of my life since I was 13 years old. And I feel pretty okay about it. Part of me feels shame for letting the patriarchy win. But another more righteous part of me feels like, oh my God, it is a physical yoke you've been wearing around your neck every second of your fucking life. You have the privilege of taking care of it. You would be a moron not to. And so I've decided that I'm going to do it. And I'm very pleased with this choice. And I wanted to share this with all of you guys because I feel like it's one of those things that is a little bit more like, oh, hey, this is like some of the things that happen with our bodies that sometimes aren't always the beautiful, sexy parts. But I think it's actually really important to talk about. So, with your permission, I would like to ask you to help me say goodbye to my breasts as we know them. They will still be breasts. They will just be littler. I will be able to buy bras at normal stores, not from a Polish lady on the internet. Which is great. I mean, yay, Polish lady on the internet, but I'd like to walk into a store someday and just be able to buy a fucking bra. So with your permission, we're going to say goodbye, and you'll get it in a second. So if Maestro, if you could start the music.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. We meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Alison Moon.
So we've heard about a lot of different superheroes and alter egos tonight, but to end this show, I think it's important that we talk about a superhero in this room who's not only a member of the Breastist League of America, but also a member of the Cleavengers. Ladies and gentlemen, by day, Dixie De La Tour. By night, the Mamarine. A southern belle who can always tell a story that's worth seeing. With big, beautiful white mounds that aren't meant for skiing, you might get so excited that you end up squirting or peeing. I'm gonna shake off the clapping, because if you clap, I will not know what the fuck is going on up here. You might get so excited that you squirt or end up peeing. Make way, the Mamarine. She'll use the force to fight off the Darthist invaders. She'll squish the shushers and silence all the haters. Once she rubs butter on those hot sweater taters. Make way, the Mamarine. No cup nor strap Victoria's Secret could ever tame. You might look under those big blue eyes and never be the same. Once you see them knockers on this red-headed dame, make way, the Mamarine. She's known in southern cities and grid cities. No, she's known in... She's known in many southern cities and giant cities. Never been in a battle she couldn't win with them titties. Even when she's on her back and they roll into her armpitties. Armpitties is now a word. Make way, the Mamarine. Oh wait, there's more. She can put a stop to the shaming of a self-respecting slut and give the mic to the meek in hopes they too may bust a nut. With Quake by her side, who might try to sniff your butt? Good dog! Make way, the Mamarine. Evildoers, beware. If near her waters you be testing in a suicide mission, you might be investing, or in the most blissful death from a drive-by breasting. Hey, let's get out of here. Don't look at that. Look at what? Huh? Make way, the memory. Oh, wait, there's more. Many have glazed over, gazing at those orbs of seduction. If bazongas were bazookas, then by way of deduction, those chest cannons could be weapons of mass destruction. Or a nice, soft, and safe place to lay your weary head. The memory. One more. When up against the stuffy, the prissy, and the smarmy, she's our fearless captain when the waves are dark and stormy. Together we will fight with her. We're her horny little army. So if your motorboat's adrift, you'll get wet and you'll be stiff. Beyond the boobs, I am quite sure she's the one we're all here for. The memory. Or mammarian. Or she's got big boobs.
Happy anniversary, Jefferson Berge. We just celebrated 4 years of you writing custom songs for body storytelling. And you even let me convince you to create a Patreon, because after 4 years of having so much of you, I've decided to let other people have a crack at this custom song written by Jefferson Berge thing. So if you go to patreon.com/Jefferson Berge, there's an option there to have him write you a custom song. I've convinced him that people will support artists, especially talented artists. And I hope he believes me. Prove me right. The very first show that Jefferson Berge ever performed at was the one that this song was featured in. I hired him because he created a song that related to the theme. The theme was alter ego, sexual superhero. And he had a song about Superman and the Flash and Batman and all these kind of things. And it was just perfect for the theme. But he surprised me at the end of the show with a song that he wrote about me. That song you just heard was called The Mammarian. When I was a superhero, I always pronounced it The Mammarian. But he pronounces it Mammarian. Thank you for that song. Thank you for making me feel like a superstar. I still love that song, and if you want to see him surprise me on stage performing that song, go to our YouTube channel. You're also going to be able to see the video from Allison Moon's story, and there's a link also to Pierced Angel's story. 3 videos this time, y'all. Go to youtube.com/bodystorytelling, and the other link is to our Vimeo channel, our much, much older Vimeo channel, so you can watch the song. You can watch the stories. And happy anniversary, and thank you to Jefferson Berge for that. Hey, where can I see you live and in person? I'm gonna think maybe at a body storytelling show. Here are dates of upcoming body storytelling shows. This Saturday night, April 13th, in Seattle, I'm doing the Groupon Extravaganza. The Groupon Extravaganza is not just a bigger show. I'm such a size queen on this episode, aren't I? It's not just a bigger show. I've decided to bring the games to Seattle. I haven't done that in a long, long time. So not just Bango. We are going to have Sniff Test, which is one of my worst ideas ever. Don't you want to be part of that? And I'm also going to be bringing OK Pervert, which is so much fun. It might get you laid. It'll probably get you laid. But if you don't want to get laid, it is such a fun way to interact with other people at a show. You're definitely going to make a new friend, minimum. So get your tickets soon. There's only a few tickets left for this Saturday night show in Seattle. And you can get tickets on our website. Then on May 9th in Seattle, the theme is libertine. Perhaps you're a free spirit. Perhaps you're a bon vivant. Perhaps you're something else French. Pitch me a story for that show. Send your pitch to dixie@bodystorytelling.com. Couple of spots left for the libertine show in Seattle. I'd love to have you on my stage. And right after that, May 11th and 12th, I am doing my Storytelling with Dixie live weekend storytelling retreat in Seattle. It's sold out hard in San Francisco, and I'm going to let you in on a secret. The Seattle location is going to be not just one of the coolest places you've ever hung out, but it's going to be one of the coolest places you've definitely ever taken a storytelling workshop. You get to spend an entire weekend working on stories. I have this system that will make telling a well-crafted story so easy. And you get custom coaching from me. We'll work on your story together. So you can register for that on the website as well. The storytelling retreat is something that I just had so much fun doing in San Francisco, and I'm really excited to do it with people in Seattle. And then that's Seattle. In San Francisco on April 18th, I'm doing the theme Gateway Drug. Gateway Drug has had some amazing stories pitched to me, and we're going to have a bunch of Leathermen showing up at that show because I recently spoke at the Leathermen's discussion group in San Francisco, and they loved body storytelling. So you're going to see a lot more Leathermen in the audience, and I'm a big fan of that. On May 17th in San Francisco, I'm doing Unicorn Fest. It's my birthday show. Rachel Lark is performing. I'm going to have special games at this show, and it's a big Friday night show. If you're a unicorn, or maybe if you like unicorns, this is the show for you. Still taking story pitches on this one. You know how to pitch me, and let's get you started. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to make you rock the stage, and there's going to be extra unicorny things going on at that show as well. And I announced this last week, but in case you didn't catch that, I am doing a show on Folsom Street Fair. So after you wander around in the sun, after you get burnt a little bit, after you've smelled leather and you've been around 400,000 perverts, the largest kink event in the world, why don't you come over to the Verity Club on Sunday, September 29th? You can come over, have a cocktail, put up your dogs. Not your actual, well, maybe you could bring your dog if you want, but probably just your human dogs. And sit in a chair and relax and listen to kinky, kinky stories. We are a destination for Folsom. A lot of people have been asking about that one. So it's going to be a well-attended show. I will be putting tickets up on the website soon. Please look for that. And the best way to find out about upcoming shows like the impending show that I'm working on in Chicago or the show that I'm working on in New York. The best way to know about those is to go to bodystorytelling.com/subscribe and subscribe to our email list. You'll know first. Don't you want to be the first to know? I'm a nosy person. I always want to be the first person to know. So if you want to know about those shows, the Folsom show, if you want to know about the show I'm working on for Chicago, if you want to know about the show that I'm working on for New York, or maybe you want to tell me where I should go, like the emails that I got that said, please bring the show to New Orleans and Dallas would eat you up and some of the other places I'm hearing. Best way to know about what's coming up is to go subscribe to our email list. Go to bodystorytelling.com/subscribe. That's the best way to be the first to know.
I also hope to come loud one day, preferably in a 69.
It's time to say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, to video archivist Joe Moore. Joe, you went above and beyond this week. Thank you for the videos of the stories and the songs. More videos than we've ever had to go with the episodes of the podcast. Thank you to project manager Dana Hanna. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff. And listener, thank you to you. Thank you for reviewing us, for subscribing, for listening, for telling just one friend about this podcast. Because if they start listening, then we're going to grow. And you made that happen. Good on you. And you know how I say, here's a peek of what's next, and I give you a peek of what we're doing next week? Well, I wanted to do something different this week. I wanted to tell you about another sex-positive podcast you should be listening to. Tristan Taramino is a sex educator, a public speaker. She's a filmmaker, an author, and an astounding human being. So she has a podcast called Sex Out Loud. I love it. It goes up live every Friday, Pacific Standard Time. You can listen live or you can listen whenever, wherever you listen to podcasts. So listen to Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino. And here's a peek at that podcast.
Stimulated by sexual pleasure and sexual politics? Sex Out Loud, hosted by me, Tristan Taramino, is the go-to show to get an insider's perspective from leaders in the LGBTQ community, the adult industry, and the sex-positive world. Hear from artists like Janet Mock, Bridget Everett, Kate Bornstein, and Shine Louise Houston, experts Emily Nagoski and Chris Donahue, activists like Jessica Valenti, Connor Habib, and Soraya Kamali, and icons Margaret Cho and Dr. Joycelyn Elders. Sex education, social justice, gender, kink, feminism, sex work, non-monogamy, porn. If it's on your mind or in your feed, we're talking about it. Plus, we're committed to showcasing underrepresented voices you won't hear in mainstream media. Listen every Friday live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on voiceamerica.com or subscribe to the podcast.